This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Mr. Durham, happy ACC Tournament Day to you.
Thanks, Pack. Great to be with you. And a historical date on the Atlantic Coast Conference calendar as well, this ninth day of March 2021, because the crack research folks have reminded us that on this date in 1974, arguably the most important game, basketball-wise for sure, and maybe within the breadth of the league, was played, right?
I think it was the best college basketball game I've ever seen. I know that's a broad statement, but this one was spectacular. Oh. There's Tommy Burleson, nothing but all-stars, number one against number four nationally, and the pressure was, if you lose, you're out. Now, there's no bubble. There's no, hey, we're still a one seed. Hey, we'll drop to a two. No, you're either in or you're out. And these two teams were nothing short of awesome. And so was that dude right there, number 44, David Thompson. There's Tal, Burleson. Again, Tom McMillan, Elmore, Lucas. Goodness gracious.
Phil Spence. Don't forget Phil Spence right
so
there.
So great.
Come on, Phil.
So great.
Tell you what, can we run that back? That was just kind of fun to see the old wood floor in the Coliseum. Look how close the benches are to the scorer's table.
Yeah.
There's the end of the NC State bench and Herman Bunch sitting at the end of the NC State bench. Yeah. And then you get to the media types there on the end smoking and drinking coffee right there wearing their shirt and ties. There's Frank DiCenzo, I think, at press row.
Yeah, not a lot of suits.
For those of you on Tobacco Road.
Not a lot of suits.
Lynn Elmore.
A lot of warm-ups, no suits.
Yep. Philadelphia's so Mo awesome. Howard, by the way.
So
Owen
great.
Brown, the late Owen Brown. Man, that telling Dude. You, Pack. By the way, I went back this morning. You're going to see this show up on the show from time to time. The old, it's now in digital form, but this is last year's Atlantic Coast Conference Tournament Record Book. This is a handy-dandy little document. You got to keep this with you at the tournament. All right, so on the 9th of March, 1974, NC State won 103-100 in overtime. It's a game that changed, by the way, the landscape of college basketball. More on that in a second. Tom Burleson finished with 38 points and 13 rebounds. He was 18 of 25 from the floor. David Thompson was 10 of 24, 9 of 11 at the free throw line for 29 points. In the NC, they were one of three NC State players in double figures. Monty Tau had 17. Maryland had five in double figures. Mo Howard, who we spoke of, 22 points on 10 of 15 shooting. Tom McMillan, Pack, 22 points, 7 rebounds on 11 of 16. 18 points for Lynn Elmore, who had 13 rebounds. John Lucas, 18 points. And Owen Brown, 14 points. Tom Roy, also seen in the video, had 6 points and 3 rebounds from Maryland. Why is the game so important? It changed the dynamic of the NCAA tournament. As Pac said, the winner went to the tournament. Maryland, so dejected at the loss, refused an NIT bid and ended their season. Based on the ball game, or principally based on the ball game, the NCAA tournament expanded in the 1975 season.
By the way, I'm going to pull a West Durham here and say, now if you give me the overhead upper deck shot here in the studio in the basement, the Bojangles biscuit. See the Bojangles biscuit there in the corner with the NC State singlet? The Bojangles biscuit is sitting on top of the actual game tape of the 70. Here we are talking about the greatest game in the history of the ACC, arguably one of the greatest, if not the best, college game ever. And the original tape is underneath the Bojangles biscuit in the NC State wrestling singlet. Look at the dogs. Yeah. Are they out? You know, they. I mean, goodness gracious.
Yeah, they're
out.
They're
drugged. You know what else happened today, Wes? I mean, that game,
what's that?
Unbelievable, right? I mean, every ACC fan knows about it, even if you weren't alive. If you do a little homework and you've heard that stories about that game. But also 35 years ago today was Coach K's first ACC tournament championship. And I would say to you, I'm just going to throw something on you today, totally off the beaten path. We've got six teams starting today, right? Pitt, Miami, Duke, BC, Notre Dame, Wake. I would make the case for Duke that that is its greatest ACC tournament memory. Now, they've got a bunch to pick from. And if you're a Duke fan, let that marinate a second. When you start talking about the history of your school with the ACC tournament, and I said, what is the ultimate Duke memory? I would say Kay winning his first ACC championship with that class, which has been documented here on ACC Network, was a pivotal moment, not only for Duke, but also the history of this league. And Duke had great success prior to Mike Krzyzewski getting there. And I had fun just dreaming this stuff up. And I'll just put the ball in your court and let you marinate on that throughout the show. If you think, Pac, no, I'm going to one-up you, I think it's something else, fine. But I've come up with one for every team today that's playing. Their ultimate ACC memory. Maybe we could do that for everybody in the team.
I would.
Just ask.
Yeah, why not? I think that the 86 team is certainly – in terms of Mike Krzyzewski's legacy, I don't think there's any doubt because, you know, the story's been well documented among ACC fans and Duke fans in particular about the 83 loss to Virginia in the Omni, right?
Right.
About how, you know, they were at dinner that night in Atlanta at the tournament after the game and, you know, man, hope we can forget it. And Krzyzewski says, no, we're never going to forget it.
Right.
And 3 years later, look what happened. They won the ACC tournament. They beat Georgia Tech, ironically, Bobby Crimmins' team that was a really good team in 86 in the championship game. So, I would go for the modern day because when you get back to the Vic Bubas era, again, we're talking about the one team. The winner goes and everybody else, you know, either went to the NIT, one team maybe went to the NIT, and that was it. You're probably right in that aspect that that the 86 for the modern Duke fan, the 1986 ACC tournament title game over Georgia Tech and Greensboro is probably a really, really important game from Mike Krzyzewski's standpoint and from Duke's basketball standpoint.
And I think for the league, Wes, because I mean, let's be honest with the way that this has been written now. And again, we're talking about something that happened 35 years ago. And keep in mind the era of where the league was at that point in time. You know, Terry Holland, great teams. Lefty Driesell, great teams. Dean Smith, incredible standard. Jim Valvano, rocking. I mean, Bobby Crimmins. I mean, it was an amazing time in the league. And this was the guy that was living in the shadow, quite frankly, of what Dean Smith and Jim Valvano were doing on Tobacco Road. He had to have his breakthrough, and he got it. And the rest is history. Yeah. So I think it's kind of fun. It might be just an exercise we goof around with for the next couple of days, and we try to pick a moment for every ACC team, the ultimate ACC tournament moment. And to me, I think there's a bunch you can mess with Duke, but that was the one that immediately came to mind. And here, ironically, is the anniversary of 35 years ago to the day as we celebrate the NC State-Maryland game, which to me is NC State's ultimate moment. I mean, how could it not be, right? How could it not be?
Oh, well, I think that the 74, and I mean, I would hope NC State fans would agree with this, as great as the run in 83 was when they beat Carolina in the semifinals in Atlanta and Virginia in the finals, to get into the NCAA tournament, a tournament they ultimately won, you know, in Albuquerque over Houston, I still think the 74 game is a, you know, that's a sentinel moment in terms of where they are and what their program did. That was a great team, not a good team. That was a great team in 1974, and it beat a great team to go to the NCAA tournament. I think for Duke, the building blocks that Kay put in behind what – and you have to remember with Mike Krzyzewski now, real quick here on this, Mike Krzyzewski saw Dean Smith, and he gets the job. He sees Dean Smith win the 82 national title with Michael Jordan and James Worthy, Sam Perkins and Jimmy Black and Matt Doherty. And then the next year, he's sitting over there in Durham and watches Jim Valvano win it.
Right.
the national championship, not the ACC. So in 82, Dean Smith, 83, Jim Valvano, and Krzyzewski in 84. This is the important part. Now, while 86, I think, is the capper, to your point.
Yeah.
In 84, he goes to the ACC tournament finals and loses to Len Bias in Maryland for Lefty Driesell's ACC championship. And that was the infamous Driesell press conference where he said, I'm going to put this trophy on the hood of my car and drive it around North Carolina. In 84, I think Duke took a big stride that year, Pac. I thought the fact they got embarrassed by Virginia, and John Feinstein has chronicled this in a book he wrote about the legends of Kay and Valvano and Dean Smith, but I think the fact they got embarrassed in 83 in Atlanta and made it to the 84 title game, even though they lost to Maryland, but beat Carolina in the semis, I think that was a really important bounce for Duke to ultimately what happened in 86. Now, Jay Billis, who played on those teams, Johnny Dawkins, David Henderson, those guys, Mark Allery, may tell us we're out of our minds. But I thought the fact that Kay watched Dean Smith win in 82, Valvano in 83, and 3 years later got a Duke team to the national championship game where they lost to Louisville, really important, and it was that 86 championship game. I would agree with the modern success of Duke is principled in that 86 title.
This is what we're going to do, and we'll mess around with this throughout the next couple of days with every team in the league, all right, because I think it's fun.
Yep.
And you could totally disagree with us. You may say, guys, did y'all fall down a flight of stairs? What'd you do? Again, you could go back as far as you want. We're talking about the ultimate ACC tournament moment.
Right.
For each school. And Duke will play BC today. And so I started tinkering with BC. Now, again, some of these schools weren't charter members. So, your lifeline here and your time of period is going to be completely different. For Boston College, Wes, call me crazy.
Yeah.
I think maybe the very first year they were in the league.
No question.
BC makes their debut and they reach the ACC final. To me, I think that's the ultimate BC moment.
Yeah, it's there's no doubt it's the ultimate BC moment in terms of the ACC tournament, because from that point forward, Pac, in all honesty, it's been downhill.
Yeah.
It's a scenario, quite frankly, where BC's got a lot of questions about their tournament success. It's their first year in the league. Al Skinner took them to the championship game, and they lost to Duke. With Craig Smith and a group of pros here. I'm going to make sure.
No,
I think Jared Dudley was on that team. Oh my God,
they could play.
No question. It was. I want to make sure I got this right.
Get
now,
your 2006.
ACC book got it right here. 2006. Craig Smith had 19 points, 10 rebounds. Jared Dudley 14 points. Lou Hennett, by the way, had 20.
Man, there's another name.
A scorer.
Yeah, forgot him.
But JJ Redick had 26. The landlord, Sheldon Williams, had 18. Josh McRoberts, Blue Devil fans, 16 points.
Yeah, well, we'll have some fun with that. Well, because we'll take the six teams that are playing today. We gave you NC State. So again, we'll get to NC State tomorrow. They got Syracuse. But I think NC State's, to me, is easy. Duke fans could disagree with us on the agreeing on the 86 ACC title. Ironically, 35 years ago today, Kay's first one. BC jumps in the league, gets the ACC finals, and it's been a while ago. I mean, we're talking about, 15, 16 years ago. So, been a while now. There's some here that are hard. I mean, like I started messing around with Pitt, and again, the time span, very different to pick from here. But we'll do Pitt, Miami, Notre Dame, and Wake. To me, Notre Dame and Wakes are easy.
Mm-hmm.
And so is Miami's, to be honest with you. Pitt's a little different.
But let me follow up on BC. BC real quick. 10-15 as they go to battle today. Today will be their 26th game in the ACC tournament. They are now, of those 10 wins, 7 came between early. 2006 and 2015, because in their last 5 tournaments, they are 3-6. So,
okay.
I mean, it's been a struggle.
Yep.
Been a struggle. So.
Yeah, but we'll see.
All right.
Well, a lot to cover today.
What else we got in this opening hour? Man, we're throwing a lot of stuff at
people. Yeah, we're just kind of winging the first segment here. I mean, we kind of off the beaten path. I know the boys or girls are yelling at us already, but that's okay. It's going to be all right. We'll figure this thing out. We got accounting today, too, by the way. We're going to do accounting today. You ready for that? Big man, you love accounting.
Yeah, I'm ready.
I don't think it's hard.
It's next. And no, it's not hard. It's not hard at all.
Not after Saturday.
No. I bet we still got one or two that aren't alike after almost nailing it last week. By the way.
You're probably right.
I bet we got one or two that aren't alike. That'll be about it, I think.
I got a sweet 16 for you, too.
By the way, Dan Bonner coming up at 7:30. And also coming up in this show today, Tony Bennett, the Virginia coach, will join us at 8:15. Oh, the ACC commissioner, Jim Phillips, will be here for a full half hour at 8:30. We're excited about that. And Elisa Cunane of NC State, Wolfpack in the house in the 9 o'clock hour. And we're also going to show you a feature today about an unbelievable story with Elisa and her dad. And I hope you'll hang for that, too. So we got a lot to go, and accounting is next. Oh, get the social media ready. Yep. Get the social media ready. I got a feeling both our number ones are the same and probably our number twos. And then after that, it just all breaks loose. Sit tight. Opening day of the 68th New York Life ACC Basketball Tournament. Packer and Durham got you started next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, big show on a Tuesday. Used to be a state holiday growing up as a kid in North Carolina, first day of the ACC tournament. Rolling in the TVs, nobody getting any work done in the classroom, even the teachers were watching. The whole world stopped in North Carolina on ACC tournament, man. Bigger than life.
I got Miss Foster, the principal at Bluford School in Greensboro, to put the game on the PA over the school.
Yeah, man. Hey.
Why not? Let's go.
High noon, it was like, forget lunch, man. We're all watching basketball in school. So that's it. I don't know anybody that didn't do that in the state of North Carolina.
That's
right? It's just the way of life
in high
was.
School, I had to do the Secret Service thing in high school. I had to wire the radio up the sleeve and everything.
Wes, it's so funny. I even brought a transistor radio too. Just on the bus ride home, you didn't want to miss anything. And so I literally the same thing you did. I didn't even know that. It's funny you should say that. But you had the little earphone, and man, you find an AM station.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to Gene Overby or whatever the case may be. And I mean, you know, your dad. I mean, listen, the Tar Heel Radio Network did every single game. And again, growing up in North Carolina, that was just part of the gig, man. ACC tournament. Got home and you played basketball and you had the radio on listening to the game.
It's what you did. Nightfall. I mean, like,
right.
Back when the tournament was Thursday, the quarters were on Thursday, you were up all night long. I'm not going to bed.
Exactly right.
My grandparents used to stay at the house because my parents were at the tournament. My grandmother used to say, "Are you going to bed?" Nope,
no.
I'm not. I'm watching the end of the game. Well, it's just like Clemson and Maryland. I don't care.
Yeah, you know, and the great thing was Billy couldn't yell at me because he was doing the game. So I was out there, and Barb was like, "I just let that idiot just shoot baskets all night, listening to the radio and pretending doing crowd noise. You making shots, and I'm Hawkeye Whitney. You know, whatever it is. I mean, that's just what it was when you were growing up as a kid in the state of North Carolina. You know what I mean? But you just kind of lived the moment. Like you heard, like your dad would call
that's
the game.
Exactly right.
You'd close your eyes and then you'd try to do the same play in your backyard. That was just what it was when you're growing up in the state on ACC tournament day.
Oh, you know what I'm thinking? Boys ought to crank up Sail with the Pilot today, Pac.
Oh, that'd be a good day.
We ought to crank up the pilot today. Don't forget now, tournament starts today, but if you followed the women's event last week, you know that accchamphub.com is your one-stop shop for everything about the tournament. You can catch up on games and highlights, stats, features, chalk talks of sort, and maybe even a little Packer and Durham in there too. accchamphub.com. You can access it through the ACC mobile app or online straight from your desktop or Mac.
You know, Wes.
Good way to follow the league and follow the event.
You'll just never know where we'll show up, right? Never know where we'll show up.
You'll
Champ
never
Pub,
know.
Radio,
we never know either.
TV, digital. You just never know. We might pop up out of nowhere, out of thin air. Just driving down the road you and bam, here we are. Just never know what'll happen.
You just never know. All right. Rumor is we have accounting.
Oh, yeah.
The rumor is reality. Here is accounting. This is mine. I will go first. Don't forget, you're allowed to submit yours. Use the hashtag Packer and Durham. Okay. Out of the chute, Virginia, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech. Sorry, Hokies. I know you're three, but you hadn't played. I moved you down. Clemson, 5. Carolina, 6. Louisville, 7. Hey, this looks like the bracket. Syracuse, 8. NC State, 9. Bracket? Yes, I think so. 10. Duke, 11. Notre Dame, Pitt, 12. Wake, 13. Miami, 14. Boston College, 15. Funny, it looks a lot like the bracket. Except for one.
It does. I think we have, I think we only have one or two that are different based on just the quick observation there. All right, here's mine. Not doesn't look a whole different. Mine's almost exactly the bracket because it is Virginia 1, Florida State 2, Virginia Tech 3, Jackets 4, Clemson 5, North Carolina 6, Louisville 7, Cuse 8, State 9, Duke 10. Irish 11, Pitt 12, Miami 13, the Swiss are 14, BC 15, and 16. I'm going to say this for the last time this year, thank God. Bracketology, 16th. Sweet 16. Because coming on Sunday, boys and girls, no more bracketology. We get the real deal. Real deal. There it is. Joey Brackets right there.
Why you want to take down Joey?
I didn't take down
Joey. Why you want to take down Joe?
I didn't take down
Joey. Friend
of the
show.
I understand that. I put him 16th. Bracketology. Not him personally, just
Joe's
the whole
got
concept.
A book.
I don't care. He got a book.
Joe's got a book.
Good for him. Hope it works. Now, bracketology. Now, you can hashtag Packer. Listen, we got standings. I mean, it is what it is. You know, you had all year to figure out, you know, win games or lose them or do whatever you want. So that there it is, accounting. All right, I've got something for you before we go to break here for Dan Bonner. We just gave out the ACC basketball awards yesterday for the men, right? The official awards.
Yes,
well, today we're going to give out the official infamous ACC index card awards for the first time ever on this show. Roll the videotape. Here are the official champions of the 20-21 season. Most team fouls, a Coach K. Congratulations. Move your feet.
Oh,
quit giving up 90. Most team fouls, Duke, 303. Worst in the league. How about that? Fewest team fouls, BC. Might help because you didn't play a whole lot of games. 196. Look at the difference between those two. Best foul margin, Miami. They don't foul. Jim Larrañaga still coaching them up. Negative 50. Worst foul margin, Florida State. Leonard just come, hey, we're getting you in waves. We don't care who fouls. We're going to attack you. Most free throw attempts. Congratulations, Jeff Capel. By the way, just reprimanded by the league. Talking about officials, can't do that. But 341 free throw attempts for Pitt. Something's going right there, and I don't want to hear about double standard. Fewest free throw attempts. Wahoo wah. 172. Look at that number, Wes. Literally half.
Wow.
Half of what Pitt did.
Wow.
Best free throw margin. Miami, 96 to the good. The worst D-U-K-E, negative 66.
Move your feet, right, Pack?
Six. Move your feet.
Your feet.
Did I
sound
like
the
Dean
awards?
Smith?
Is that what you
like
call
Dean
these?
Smith?
Did you call these awards?
Yes, those are the
did
those
you call
first,
these
it's
awards?
The first time we've ever done that. The infamous ACC Index Card Awards. We didn't do that last year. I said, you know, here's an idea. We're giving out all these official awards. We're going to come up with ours. There it is. All right,
great.
By the way,
great.
One more thing before we get out of here. We're going to give you something else you can chew on. And if you're a fan of one of these teams, this confirms what you've been telling your buddy all year long. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Who did a better job from last year to this year on the infamous ACC index card? Who improved and who went backwards from a year ago?
Wow. Okay.
Ready for this?
All right.
Fouls.
Sure.
Let it rip. Fouls. Louisville up 6 spots. Last year they were 9th in the league. This year 3rd. That's a good thing. Notre Dame, they were the best in the league last year. Still pretty good. 5th this year. They dropped 4 spots. Foul margin. Hey, okay. Wolfpack Nation. All that whining last year, man, the files are ridiculous. We were almost dead last year. You went from 14th to 3rd. You know what that's called? Good coaching. Kevin Keats getting it done. NC State up 11 spots. Wahoo Wah dropped 7. They were a respectable 6th last year, 13th this year. But Virginia doesn't care. You know why? Because they've got the stinking belt. That's why. Free throw attempt. Here we go. NC State again. Another great job. Up 6 spots. Last year, kind of middle of the road. This year, they were tied for 3rd in the league. Up 6 from a year ago. Who went the wrong direction? Duke, Syracuse, Louisville. You dropped all 5 spots from a year ago. Free throw attempt margin. West, you sense a trend? Look who's up. NC State. Wolfpack in the house. Last year, they were the worst in the league. 15 is as bad as it can get. You went from 15th to 4th this year. Getting to the line. NC State and Duke. Yay, yay, yay. Forget about defending. How about getting to the line? Down 11 spots from 4th to 15th. They flip-flopped with NC State. There you go. Movement from last year on the infamous ACC index card. From one year to another. Nothing stays the same. Except for one thing. One thing stayed the same. Miami. Miami was the only repeat winner from a year ago. Why are you laughing? You love this stuff. You know why you like it? Because like you know it causes a problem. That's why you like it.
That's exactly why.
Yeah. That's why you like it.
There are people going, he's done what? Yes, he has, people. Yes.
Numbers don't lie.
Yes. For years. Not just the last two.
For 20 some odd years. I'm not forming any opinion.
20 some odd years.
I'm just telling you what the numbers are. If you say, my team's getting hosed by the refs, well, maybe they are, maybe they're not. But here's what the number says. So for NC State fans, I don't want to hear, last year, a lot of griping from NC State fans. Man, the refs are out to get us. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This year.
A lot of griping.
Crickets in Raleigh.
Okay. How about we go to something a little more authoritative, if you will?
Sure.
Dan Bonner, the tall Virginian, joins us next.
Shower curtains.
Duke plays on a Tuesday. We'll get Dan's thoughts on the Blue Devils. And who does he like in Greensboro? I bet it's Leonard Hamilton. The tall Virginian is next with Packer and Durham on the opening day of the ACC tournament.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday, a really important show. Tony Bennett coming up later on. Jim Phillips, the commissioner of the ACC, is back. Looking forward to that. Lissa Kunain, fresh off back-to-back ACC championships for the NC State women's program. A feature coming up on her, by the way, in a minute. But are you ready for Dan Bonner? Wes, are you good to go?
I am.
You look like
I am. Yes.
You look like you're perusing a stat that you want to give us.
I am.
Okay. Well, let's.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we welcome Dan Bonner to the show. Ready?
Yep.
Dan Bonner played in how many ACC games tournament wise do you think you played in?
I have no idea, but I know I only played when we were in deep trouble and way behind.
All right. I have it here. You ready? Bonner from 1973 to 1975 appeared in 4, count them, Pack, 4 Atlantic Coast Conference tournament games. He played a total of 38 minutes in those 4 games. So that's right at about
9 and a half.
Dan Bonner had a total of 4 points in his four ACC games.
Yeah, but Dan, would you explain to Wes that this is where the stats lie? This is where Dean Smith was legendary. It's the little things. Playing good defense, assist, communication, switch man-to-man defense. I mean, it's things that don't appear in a stat line is the key, right? And that's where Dean Smith was so brilliant that you could look at a stat and you'd worry about the guy that scored 28, But he'd always talk about the guy that had 2 points, one assist, and was spectacular on the defensive end, right?
Well, that's true, except the only end I was on the end of the bench going like this. Of course, I was spectacular doing that, but, you know, that was where I was spectacular.
By the way, speaking of spectacular, right, if I didn't know any better, I'd be saying that you're coming from the local Elks Moose Lodge 789 today with this out. What are you? Did we just get off the farm and put the chainsaws down and the sawdust is all over the floor? What are we doing?
Well, we did just get off the farm and we're going back and we're going to get the chainsaw out. So, yes, go. That's
All right. That makes sense. Okay. Now. That makes sense now.
All right. So what do we expect today? I mean, here's Duke in a very, very unfamiliar spot in this event, Dan. You know, it's almost become the subtitle to the tournament itself. Oh, Duke is playing Tuesday. Ironically, Carolina found itself in this spot a year ago. What do you expect the mentality of the Blue Devils to be, particularly after not a glorious showing on Saturday night in Chapel Hill?
Well, you know, I can't speak to the showing in Chapel Hill. Sometimes that just happens to you. But I expect them. I expect them to be ready to go today. I expect them to compete in the tournament. And as I look at their draw in the tournament, they got a chance to. I mean, they play Boston College, and I would be surprised if they didn't play very well. I would be surprised if they didn't win that game. And then if they do win that game, they go on to play Louisville. And the last time they played Louisville, they lost in overtime. So you have to say that that's a winnable game for Duke. And then their next game would be, if they win that one, would be Virginia Tech. And so I think that Duke has a chance to make a run in the tournament. You know, sometimes, particularly when you've had the season that Duke has, you actually need to play on Tuesday because you need more wins. You need to build that thing up. So you know, a longer run in the tournament for them is better, and you get more chances to have that run if you start on Tuesday.
The other games that are going on today, Notre Dame coming off really just a ridiculously great performance against Florida State. Mm-hmm. They beat the Noles in their home finale after really kind of a rocky February where traditionally they played so well. It looked like they went 2-3 weeks, just looked like they were just totally disconnected for whatever reason. But found it. So is Notre Dame the kind of team, Dan? They're going to take on Wake today, and the Deacs certainly struggling coming into it with 7 straight losses. Is Notre Dame the kind of team that kind of get into a rhythm? Because let's be honest, when they make shots with their spacing, they can be a headache. I mean, listen, they blew big leads at Georgia Tech, big leads at Syracuse. They're the kind of team that when they've got their A game, they can cause a headache for everybody in this conference. Ask Florida State.
There's no question about that. There's no question about that at all. They are a team, when they're putting the ball in the basket, and not just from three-point range, but they have the ability to score from two as well, and particularly when Juwan Durham is playing well. But they move the ball. They move players. I think they can be very effective. My issue with whether or not they can make a run in the tournament would be their second game. If they beat Wake Forest, and there's no guarantee that they will because we know Notre Dame has been a little up and down, but their next game in the tournament would be North Carolina. And I think, number one, North Carolina's playing pretty well. Number two, with North Carolina's big guys, that represents a very, very difficult inside matchup for Notre Dame. And number three, Notre Dame's not really the kind of team that's going to play defense to force North Carolina into one of those 30% shooting nights that the Tar Heels every once in a while have. So I think Notre Dame, they have a good matchup against Wake Forest. They seem to be playing well, but I would, if I were a Notre Dame fan, I'd have some concern about a potential matchup against North Carolina.
Well, and Dan, to your point, Wake Forest can match Notre Dame. There have been occasions, whether it's, you know, Williamson, DuBose came on, hit threes. Carter Witt can certainly shoot. You've got Wake Forest now. The one thing we know they can do if given open shots is knock down threes. And Steve Forbes' team, and Pac's right, we said this yesterday, there was probably a little bit of a downturn after the overtime loss to Florida State, but you can't question the effort that his first-year teams played with.
Well, without no doubt, Wes. I mean, every game that they've played, you know, and a lot of their losses, they get behind by double digits, but they just keep at it. They keep hanging around. They keep playing. DeBose has been, I think, a really good addition to them now that he's back.
Right.
So Wake Forest is very capable. And again, Notre Dame is not the kind of defensive team that's going to lock anybody down. So Wake Forest is going to have some opportunities. The question is, can they make their shots? And we have seen games where they certainly have.
Finally, for the last game today that we're going to cover, Miami and Pitt. Hey, your guess is as good as mine, right? I mean, Miami doesn't have bodies. Pitt between the transfers, kind of an ugly ending. You know, sometimes I worry about teams that are like, hey, we've gotten to the finish line. Can we go home? And I'm not saying they don't want to compete, but I don't know what I'm going to get with Miami and Pitt. I mean, I really have no clue about this game. Zero.
Well, you have no clue about the game, and I think the coaches for each team have no clue about the game, and coaches really don't like that. Miami has hung in there all year. I think you really have to tip your hat to Miami because whatever COVID protocols they followed, whatever they did it right because they did not have a COVID pause. The only game they lost was the North Carolina party incident. So they have hung in there despite the fact that they have been so decimated by injuries. They go out and they play hard. We've seen that they're capable. You know, they just don't have enough bodies. And with Pitt, I'm not so sure that, you know, those transfers, that's not addition by subtraction. Nike Sabandi, their transfer from Miami, who scored so many points at Miami, but was struggling to find a role with Pittsburgh. Well, now suddenly he's in a role where he has to play all the time, and he has played very, very well. And I think that one of the things that you can count on with Pitt is they're going to go out there and they're going to compete. You know, Jeff Capel's trying to build a culture there where they're based on effort and toughness. And I think when you sort of create a situation where there's maybe a little bit more unity and the word coaches like to use in this day and age is connectivity on your team, then I think maybe you have a possibility of playing a little better. But I think that's an interesting matchup, although, you know, I'm with you. I don't really know what you're going to get.
All right, let's get around to the meat of this deal with the top four seeds and kind of that second day where we get to see some of the back half of the top, if you will. I guess Clemson and NC State and Syracuse and Louisville and Carolina are all in interesting spots here. But the ones like Syracuse, I mean, you know, Dan, they got to get some wins. If they want to keep going here, the Orange need to add a couple more to the fire in order to help their chances, I would think, to even upset somebody else and grab a spot in the tournament, right?
I don't think there's any question about that. All the bracket people agree, and Joe Lenardi, our bracket guy, he has them as like the next four out or whatever. So definitely if you're Syracuse now, you need to win games. There are teams sitting out there, teams like Drake that lost in the championship game of the Missouri Valley Tournament that are just waiting for teams like Syracuse to lose. And so Syracuse, they have a chance because they're now competing against a lot of teams who can't help themselves anymore. They're done. And Syracuse can help themselves. And this is a real opportunity for the Orange, I would think. It's going to be hard, but they've got a chance.
All right. With that said, crystal ball, the team that you think's the actual favorite in this tournament is whom?
Well, I heard you guys talking about it, and it's not a surprise. I think it's Florida State. That they had now, number one, I know they had that strange loss to Notre Dame, but the Seminoles are not playing on the road. They're not playing at home, but they're not playing on the road. And so I think that they're going to come into this tournament very ready to go. I think that they're probably a little bit frustrated with themselves that they lost the chance to win the regular season title. But I just think that they have a lot of weapons, and they are a team that's very capable of playing, you know, back-to-back kind of games. And I'm going to go with Florida State.
Dan, I'm going to ask you about Moses Wright in this light. Yesterday, he's named the player of the year. And the more I thought about it yesterday afternoon, it really is one of the more fascinating journeys in 4 years of a basketball player who, you know, certainly clearly had some athleticism to him, but he was more like a baby giraffe when he showed up in Atlanta and now's turned into the ACC Player of the Year. It's in some ways it's remarkable. In some ways it's, you know, kind of like people's, I had some people say, well, you know, it's not a, not the ACC that, you know, Antoine Jameson and Tim Duncan played. And I said, well, the guy's still the Player of the Year this particular year. Not every year has got, you know, five-star shining diamonds for Player of the Year. But Moses Wright's journey is a fascinating one, I thought, culminating yesterday.
There is no question about that, Wes. I mean, you just have to tip your hat to Moses Wright. He came in and he did what he needed to do. He worked extremely hard. I think the Georgia Tech coaching staff did a nice job with his development, but I think it's his hard work. And I'm telling you now, you go back and you look, you know, it may not be the ACC of Antoine Jameson and Tim Duncan. I think that's irrelevant. But you go back and look over the last, you know, whatever. But his performances have been unbelievable. Mike Monaco, who I worked with on the ACC Network for most of the year, posted something that listed Moses Wright's points, rebounds, assists, and blocked shot averages. And the number that he came up with is nobody since 1992 has had the kind of numbers that Moses Wright has had since Tim Duncan. And then Mike Stamos, the Georgia Tech SID, he built on that and said if you add Moses Wright steals in there, that Moses Wright is alone in that category. So when you're in the same category as Tim Duncan, or when you add one extra stat and you take Tim Duncan out of the category and now you're by yourself, he's had a fabulous year. It doesn't make any difference whether the ACC has Antoine Jameson or Tim Duncan in it or not. It has Moses Wright.
And by the way, Tim Duncan couldn't guard him today either, for the record. If people are going to get into it. If Duncan
had Tim's a little old.
That's my point. That's my point. That's how irrelevant that statement is as far as, well, because you got to compare errors. No, you can't compare errors, because if Tim Duncan had to guard Moses Wright right now, Moses would score 50 on him. Oh, look at
hey,
that.
Hey, Pack.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Old school. Left.
Well, old Greensboro Coliseum.
Yeah.
A lot of hair for Dan Bonner. A lot of hair.
Well, let me tell you something. In about 4 minutes, there's going to be woodchucks running for their lives out in the woods, the backwoods of Virginia. There'll be woodchucks going, oh, my God, Bonner's back, and he's got a chainsaw and a good attitude.
That's right. Hey, if you're in the metropolitan Verona, Virginia area later today and you need some woodchips,
yep,
there's your man.
That's it right there. Love it.
Be well, Coach. Good to see you. Thank you as always.
Enjoy the tournament.
Thanks. You do. You as well. Dan Bonner, you will, of course, he's been with us on ACC Network, and he will be part of the NCAA tournament coverage again this year as well. Always great to catch up with him. Don't forget, we've got more coming up for you beyond the basketball tournament over the next couple of days. We got lacrosse for you as well. Thursday, a doubleheader, 5 o'clock on the ladies' side. Number one, North Carolina visits Virginia Tech. And then at 7 p.m., number two, North Carolina, on the road at number eight, Virginia. There you have it. Lacrosse, Lax Pack, right here on ACC Network. When we come back, an emotional, wonderful story of Elisa Cunane and her dad and their relationship and what it means to her when she hits the floor. You'll see that next on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, busy, busy Tuesday. Business picking up. Dan Bonner, Elisa Cunane, man, what else we got? Tony Bennett, the commissioner, and basketball.
Yep.
In Greensboro. All good.
Yep. Elisa Cunane, you mentioned, comes up at 9:15. Of course, NC State, back-to-back winners of the ACC Women's Championship on Sunday with a great win over Louisville. And the story of Elisa Cunane is really interesting, because not only is she from Summerfield, which is just north of Greensboro, but she's got a remarkable relationship with her dad. Her mom and dad are able to attend most of the NC State home games as well. It's only about 90 minutes away, and the story is really pretty impactful when you hear the words behind it. Dave Pierpont done a great job putting this together, and here's a feature on Elisa Kinane and her dad.
My dad can't necessarily do all the things that he used to be able to do. To go hiking, dirt biking, all of that. And so now it's almost like he's living through me as I can do that.
She's a good, genuine person. She's just a good person.
Elisa Kinane, the starting center for the NC State Wolfpack, has a close relationship with her dad, Dan Kinane, who was injured in a bicycle accident when Elisa was just 2 years old.
December 15th, 2002, it was a Sunday. We had been to church that morning. It was my son's fifth birthday. I'd ridden off-road motorcycles for years, done a million things worse. I was gonna do a little jump at the end of our driveway, just a little drop about 2 feet into a ditch by our driveway. And I simply didn't hit it hard enough, didn't pull up fast enough, and I ended up going over the handlebars and landing right on my head. When I landed, I was paralyzed from the neck down instantly. And I remember when I landed, I was face down in the ditch. And my biggest worry was drowning in the ditch. In the last split second before I lost full ability, I was able to roll over and end up face up. And for the next maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks, I couldn't move absolutely nothing from the neck down. I fractured cervical vertebrae 4 through 7 and thoracic number 6.
Dan was diagnosed with central cord syndrome, a condition that prevents parts of the body from communicating with one another. As a result, he has limited feeling and movement below his neck.
Since I was so young when the accident happened, I don't really remember like him getting hurt, you know? To me, it was always just, this is Dad.
Lisa, even when she was 2, 3 years old, she would like stand on my feet and tell me it was time to do my toe raises. So with her weight, I would lift her up. And then she'd sit on my lap and tell me it was time to do my heel raises to work on my calves and stuff.
I always have just loved helping not just him, not my mom, but everyone. I was 10 years old. I knew how to use all the power tools in the building, knew how to fix a bike, how to fix his wheelchair tires, could mow the lawn, like drive the golf cart. We did everything.
She wanted to learn to do the things she could do to help me, even as a little kid.
As Elisa has helped her dad, he has helped her develop the mental approach and skills needed on the basketball court.
When I would play games and maybe get frustrated or be not playing well, he's like, just control yourself, be a good teammate, control your attitude and effort. And I think knowing those foundations has really led me to be where I am.
So how many times for Elisa Kinane do you think she has been in this moment, growing up 13 miles away, dreamed of hitting the winning shots to ice a championship? You know, her dad, Dan, has seen her hit at least 1,000 of these. Got them both. NC State, the Pack is back on top.
Just weeks after winning the 2020 ACC championship, when Elisa was home during the early stages of the pandemic, she decided to repair her dad's old bike and take it with her back to school. The same bike that her dad was riding when he had his accident now gets Elisa around campus.
I think about all the places that my dad has been, not only with that bike, but just in his life as he traveled. And so I think that motivates me to want to go out there and experience the world as he did.
I've heard some people say, well, she needs to be meaner when she's playing basketball. I disagree. I think if you are a mean person, you should be mean when you're playing basketball. If you're a good person, you should play the game just like you live your life. You watch any of her games, and any player that goes down, regardless of what their uniform color is, she's the first one there to help them get up. And again, that speaks to me of how you live your life.
Well, just handle it. I'll be quiet.
Live like you're going to do everything. Do anything like you're going to do everything.
Great stuff. Kelsey Riggs, by the way, narrating the story of Elisa Kinane and her dad, Dan. And the star of the Wolfpack will join us at 9:15 this morning Busy hour, but looking forward to having her. And NC State, by the way, still number three in the AP poll after the ACC tournament victory against Louisville over the weekend. So there you go. Great stuff, right? Great hour. Great first hour of ACC Network and Packer and Durham this morning. When we come back, we get it cranked up. Tony Bennett joins us at 8:15, and the commissioner, Jim Phillips, with us at 8:30. Well, get ready. Tournament cracks today, and Virginia is the top seed. We'll cover the Cavaliers next.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.